Nintendo tells the court that they will not be refunding tariff upcharges to consumers. Plus, Qualcomm is raising the price of its Snapdragon chips, putting the Steam frame on notice. Tonight is July 26, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hey, we're 21 today. 21 years old. Or actually not today. It was Friday, I think. I don't remember. Hi. We're old, I guess. Hi. Hello, everybody, and welcome to, it's not a special episode, because I stopped keeping count a while ago, of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell, for joining us live here. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat, which is fun. But this is a podcast. You can also join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, if you want to talk back about things that we've talked about in the past or suggest stories to talk about in the future. But I did want to mention that it's weird. The longer you do this, the less you care about the milestones. And it still is a big deal. But July 24th, 2005 was episode one, and tonight is episode 988. So that means on Friday, the show turned 21 years old. And I've gotten to see so much in the industry, and it's been a great ride. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of ups and downs in the industry. Right now, we're in a down. We're not in the fun part of covering the industry. When I started, we were still playing PS2 and Xbox games and GameCube games. The Xbox 360 didn't come out until about 3 or 4 months into when I started doing this show. Covering the rise of VR, which I'll talk about in a little bit as well, because we're hopefully getting a new Steam, a new VR headset to compete with the Meta Quest, which is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room that even Meta is trying to walk away from. If you want a good laugh and you want to watch performative suffering, go on Reddit. And now I know I can just end the sentence there, but I'm going to continue the sentence. Go to the subreddit for the Steam frame. And oh my gosh, the hopium is the way that they say it, that is going on in the Steam Frame subreddit, because for the past 3 months, the people in that subreddit have said that the Steam Frame orders are going to start tomorrow. And by tomorrow, I don't mean like literally tomorrow from when I'm saying this. I mean, they've always thought it was going to be the next day for the last 3 months. And it's been kind of, you kind of go through, and there are people that have done this that so long that like this week or last week, they're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm no longer getting a Steam Frame. Valve has dropped the ball, by not opening the orders yet or telling the price, which I get the telling the price thing. But they were like, they hyped them up so much that they no longer could handle the weight. So they were like, I went and bought a used Valve Index and I'm done. Or they finally bought a Meta Quest or something. And I'm assuming this is what Hollow Knight Silksong, the anticipation for that looked like. So go to the Steam Frame subreddit and you will see that. Now, there are actually like some pretty good things that say that literally tomorrow, from when I'm saying this, is possibly when they are going to be announcing the orders for the Steam Frame, which would be July 27th. They're most likely going to do a reservation system like they did with the Steam Machine. But I don't want to get into that, all that stuff, because tomorrow, it's always tomorrow. And there's a story later that says if you want one, you may want to get one sooner, because like everything else in electronics, the price may go up. But next weekend, I'm still going to have a show. I'm going to be back on Sunday night. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I am actually going to be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. And the Voice of Geeks Network is a proud sponsor of the Voice of Geeks, of the Voice of Geeks Network as well, but of the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. We are a silver sponsor. We have been a sponsor since just about the beginning. They say it's the beginning, and I'm going to believe them. I don't remember sponsoring in the first year, but they don't listen to this show, so they don't know that I said that. But it's been at least since year two or year three of the convention. We were on the ground floor. So we are a sponsor, and I am moderating two panels at the convention. Unfortunately, these are not streamed. They are not recorded. You will not be able to see them unless you come to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo at the Renaissance Waverly Hotel in Cobb Galleria in Atlanta, Georgia, next weekend. Saturday from 3 to 4, the Team Fortress 2 panel is what it's called, but it's with John Patrick Lowry and Ellen McLean, who are the voice actors from it. John Patrick Lowry was the sniper in Team Fortress 2, and Ellen McLean was GLaDOS in Portal, and I think she's the overseer in Team Fortress 2. So they're both in Team Fortress 2. Interviewed them on the show when we were not yet 10, I think it was 2012 is when I think the timestamp is of when I recorded the bumpers that we play on the show from them. So it's been a while. I haven't seen them in 13 years, and hopefully they won't remember me. But we're going to have some fun and talk about that. And then on Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., I am doing these voice actor mega panel. And last week I was like, I don't know who's on this. They haven't put it in. Well, now they've been on there. And I may need to like hit up Ranma. And I don't know if Ranma's listening yet, but I may need to hit up Ranma because some of these are more anime voice actors, and he might know a little bit more about them. So some of them are video games, and I know about them. But so there's 6 people on this mega panel. So we have Jenny Kidd, who was the voice of young Pauline in Odd Rock and Donkey Kong Bonanza, and was the vocal performer for when Pauline sang. Andy Field, who is Dispatch, Big Top, and the pirate Captain Springlock in the latest 7 Five Nights at Freddy's games. So the last 7 games, he's in that. Ian Russell, who is Abelhard in Warhammer 40K, Rogue Trader, Psyker in 40K, Warhammer 40K, Inquisitor Martyr, Locke in Payday 2 and 3, and Speaker Hjalf and Captain Artellus in Elder Scrolls Online. Michael, and you're going to be like, oh, is he related? It's spelled completely differently. Michael McConaughey. So it's not related to Matthew McConaughey. It's spelled completely different. He was the Lich King, Deathwing, and Kel'Thuzad, in World of Warcraft, King Kai, North Kai, and King Vegeta in Dragon Ball Super, and like a whole bunch of other anime things. Like all these people have also done like 100 other things. I'm just like highlighting the things that they highlight in their bio. Melody Spivak, who was Queen Angerboda, Annalide the Caller, and Icheron in World of Warcraft, Mai in Dragon Ball, and VT in Cowboy Bebop. And then Terrence Stone, who was Cho'Gall in World of Warcraft, Mayuri Kurotsuchi, and Yorichi Shihonen, cat form, in Bleach and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. So, I get to talk to anime people and anime voice actors for animes I've never watched. And some video games I've never played. I've actually never played World of Warcraft. I was very big into EverQuest, and then I went straight to Star Wars Galaxies, and then I was kind of burned out on MMOs, and then I was like, yeah, I'm not going to play World of Warcraft. And then I played Final Fantasy 14 online, which was like World of Warcraft. And so I'm like, I don't need to play World of Warcraft anymore. But yeah, so that is next week. Lots of pinball. Steve Ritchie is going to be a guest. You know, so I'll be able to try the new machines. Pokemon's going to be there from Stern. Transformers is going to be there from Stern. I'll try the Sonic the Hedgehog machine that Steve Ritchie designed. That's going to be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're going to be in town, come say hi. I should be actually added to the app very soon. I was a very late addition to the app to get my face in there and everything. So that's going to be happening. GameATL.com, if you're wondering, it is to get a 3-day pass, which gets you basically free play on everything, on all the arcade and pinball and all the tabletop gamings and stuff like that. It is $85 online or $90 if you get it at the door. Or you can, at the door, get a single-day badge. So if you go on Friday, $45. Saturday, it's $55. And Sunday, it's $30. So if you just want to go meet those voice actors and see that panel, it's only $30 and gets you in on Sunday. All right, let's get into the news. I started a little tiny bit late, and it was not because of any hardware issues. It was just me. This was a story that was put on our Discord. And the way that the article that I was reading kind of framed it is they took a Reuters story that was not about VR and made it about VR. So this is something that is interesting. It's something that's going to be happening, and it's going to affect a lot of things that are not just VR. And a site called Video Cards with a Z, so you know it's very hip and extreme. Reports that Valve postponed the Steam Machine and Steam Frame launches after memory and storage shortages made it difficult to finalize prices. The company waited for component costs to stabilize, but there's still no clear return to the lower prices available when the hardware was designed. Now Valve has another component increase to consider. Qualcomm has informed customers that prices for its products will rise by a double-digit percentage. The new prices will apply to chips shipped after September 1st, 2026, and Qualcomm said it has exhausted its ability to absorb higher supplier costs. So the Steam Frame uses the Qualcomm Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 processor. The standalone headset also includes 16 gigabytes of LPDDR5X unified memory and either 256 gig or 1 terabyte of UFS storage. All three components have faced tighter supply or rising costs during the current hardware shortage. Qualcomm's increase does not confirm that Valve will change the Steam Frame retail price. Valve may have already secured part of its chip supply under earlier contracts. In fact, we know that there's tens of thousands of Steam Frame already in the U.S. in a warehouse ready to ship. We just haven't heard what the actual price is going to be. But any units produced with processors shipped after September 1st may carry a higher bill of materials. This is, and it's not just the Steam Frame that uses a Qualcomm Snapdragon chip. Basically, every VR device now actually does use that, especially that has standalone, uses the Snapdragon. A lot of mobile phones use the Snapdragon chips. So, at least for the time being, the era of electronics getting cheaper as time goes by, unfortunately, is in the past. I do not think that is the way that things are going to be in the future, because there are more lucrative avenues for these companies that produce hardware than consumers. And why should they sell cheaper components to consumers when there are much larger companies with much deeper pockets who are willing to pay much more for the same technology or better? And it sucks. I hate saying it that way because that doesn't help anybody, but that is the reality that we're living in right now. And unlike the previous times when hardware shortages happened because of internet fads, you know, everybody trying to get a GPU 6 years ago was like pulling teeth because all the Bitcoin miners were taking it. This ain't going away, because the ultimate reason for this is the current AI infrastructure rollout. And they are buying up all the chips and all the memory and all the storage, and they have a lot deeper pockets. And people will say, well, Valve is not a small company. They have $1 billion in revenue. And yeah, yeah, their valuation may be $1 billion, but they're fighting against companies whose valuations are closer to trillion. You know, they're in the $100 billion range. Valve is small potatoes compared to them, and Valve doesn't make their own hardware. So if you're going to get a Steam Frame and you look at the price and say, wow, that's high, I'm going to wait for it to come down, I'm going to say it probably is not going to go down. It's probably going to go up first, because as they sell out of this batch and they need to make new ones, they're going to need to pay the higher cost for the same processor that they've been using. A double-digit increase is what Qualcomm said. It sucks for us, but unfortunately, there are enough people out there in the public that are like, I might as well just get used to AI. And I might as well, you know, just embrace it. And they're complying in advance. And, you know, we were able to kind of push back NFTs because everybody pushed back. And the tech bros realized that, and they finally found something that the general public loves. You know, I've even talked with friends who actually were like, yeah, I use ChatGPT to make flyers. Or like, I had to make a t-shirt for something for some one of our company events. So I had ChatGPT make it, and it took me 5 minutes. I'm like, well, no, it took the robot 5 minutes. You didn't do anything. And they're like, I don't see what the problem is here. Like, well, why are you... And I was told them, they're in the majority. Our neighborhood did trivia, like a yearly trivia thing. And the trivia question person he was like, should I use ChatGPT or Claude for this? And somebody told him neither. He's like, ooh, tough crowd. I'll use ChatGPT for a trivia game. His defense is the prizes are crap, so don't get too worked up. So I don't know if my sports people are here, but one of the questions that he asked, because this is a question ChatGPT told him he should ask, this is a sports ball question. What nation co-hosted the 2002 FIFA World Cup and won it without ever having appeared in the tournament before? And if you know football, you know there is no answer to that question. He asked ChatGPT for a really good trivia question, and then after somebody complained, he actually was like, oh, I just asked ChatGPT for the answer, and it told me it was not a correct question. And if you're wondering, South Korea and Japan co-hosted, and I think Korea had never been in a World Cup before, but they definitely didn't win it because Brazil won it. So anyway, that's your little sports for today. And also, like, that bar trivia that I go to, the dude started playing generative AI covers music between... within that. Okay, so Korea was in the World Cup before 2002. I didn't know. I just knew that AI was wrong, and I wasn't going to go ask AI. But, yeah, no, and at that bar trivia, he played, like, was like, hey, this is a cover of a Rush song, and then, like, it's literally by a group called Fake Music. And you go on Spotify, and they have millions of listens. And they're a generative AI group. And he was playing it in the restaurant. And I'm like, I'm about to walk out. Mike Depp says Japan might be the one that debuted, but he's not even sure of that. This is not a soccer podcast or a football podcast. We're not going to talk about that. We're definitely not going to talk about how Atlanta United did last night. So anyway, unfortunately, I think it's going to be here to stay. I'm hoping the bubble bursts so it normalizes. Like, unlike NFTs, I don't think generative AI is going away. It's just going to normalize, just like how the dot-com boom normalized, and we still have dot-coms, just not the way they were 26 years ago. All right, Japan debuted in 1998, so wrong on all counts. That question that ChatGPT had asked in trivia was wrong on all counts. So anyway, really long way of saying hardware is going to get more expensive because people with more money than you want to buy all the hardware and not let you have any. Because they'd rather you pay them to use the hardware they've bought. And they want you to have your own hardware to be a luxury that everybody can afford anymore. And it's, you know, just pay us. Pay us a monthly fee. It'll be cheaper for you than having your own hardware. there were some one of the other things that we've covered in the past here on the show is because I kind of collect some of these, or I have collected them before, and a couple of you have some of these, and it is Arcade 1-Up, and San Diego Comic-Con is this week, and there's not usually that much video game news going on at San Diego Comic-Con, but every once in a while there is, because there's a big overlap between the Comic-Con audience and video games, and Arcade 1-Up is there. Stern is there as well. Stern was there showing off machines. But Time Extension reports that Arcade 1-Up has lifted the lid on its latest OutRun arcade cabinet, which comes pre-bundled with 5 games. Wait a minute. This is new? Revealed at San Diego Comic-Con, the new OutRun Supreme Cab boasts a 19-inch BOE-made LCD screen and stands at 67 inches tall. It comes with the original OutRun, and it also has Turbo OutRun, OutRunners, and then Power Drift and Rad Rally were also pre-installed. It launches exclusively at Costco in the U.S. this fall and will cost $629.99. A slightly smaller deluxe variant with a 17-inch display will be available for $599.99. Arcade 1-Up has also revealed Street Fighter II Supreme, a $649.99 cabinet which includes 14 games. There's also a Ms. Pac-Man Pub Table arcade machine which features 10 games, including Rolling Thunder and Mappy. Now, one of the things that happened, I think, last year, we all thought Arcade 1-Up was going to shut down. They were actually bought by another company called Basic Fun. And Basic Fun bought the Arcade 1-Up brand and some of the licenses and things like that. No Spy Hunter on the OutRun cabinet, by the way. That was a big deal in the past. But reason I was kind of saying, hey, you know, this sounds familiar is because OutRun was released by Arcade 1-Up 4 years ago. And it originally only had 4 of the 5 games, and then there was a firmware update you could download, put on a USB stick, and you had to get a very special USB stick because it only had USB-C, I believe, in the back. So you couldn't get, like, a normal USB stick that was a USB Type-A. But you could get a firmware update, and then you could update the firmware, and then that's how you got Rad Rally on it. And they released both a stand-up and a sit-down variant. I bought the sit-down variant, so you can sit down and actually play it. And the problem that Arcade 1-Up started running into, which is why they had to get bought by Basic Fun, is because they didn't introduce anything new. They basically just kept re-releasing the same games that they had been releasing. They released Pac-Man 8 billion times. They released Street Fighter 2 multiple times. And it's probably because they couldn't afford other licenses, and the previous licenses expired, but then they would get some more. We've already bought those. They've also re-released the new Star Wars cabinet with different art. I think it's Revenge of the Jedi. So I have the Star Wars cabinet as well, and I think Pod Culture does, where it has the 3 games that use the yoke. So that it has Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. The first two were raster games, so they, you know, look like raster games. And then the third one was actually like an actual video game with a CRT TV. But you used them all with the flight yoke because arcade operators at the time just changed out the board. It was so they didn't have to buy a whole new cabinet, and then they got a whole new game. They just slapped new art up on the cabinet they already had with the flight yoke. But you can play all those. They re-released that. There's a Sonic the Hedgehog cabinet. So you can play a bunch of Sonic games on an arcade cabinet, which it wasn't an arcade game, but you're now going to be using, you know, a joystick and buttons to play it. If they want to continue the brand, You need to have new stuff because we've already bought those. The people with the disposable money already bought them when they were $200 cheaper, by the way. Dark Tetsuya says Sonic had a couple arcade games, but neither of them are on this. Of course not. The issue here is that it is a hefty investment for just a handful of retro games, and the people that would make those investments have already bought them, which is why Arcade 1-Up had to be sold to another company that did more than just arcade games because they tapped out the market. And then they just kept re-releasing the same things. What am I going to do with a new Star Wars cabinet? Mine works fine. Like, oh, the new one has a fake coin door on it. So I love the idea. I love the concept. I played the arcade cabinet that I had built by somebody I'm going to be seeing at Southern Fried Gaming Expo next week, Monster Arcades, that plays a whole bunch of games. And maybe that's where they need to go. This is kind of where Evercade has gone, where you can get cartridges and get other things on a cabinet. Maybe they need to make something where you can play other games on this cabinet. Make it a console. Make it a stand-up console that you build, but then you can play other games on it. They announced that stuff. Basic Fun was at San Diego Comic-Con and showed that. And the other thing that was at San Diego Comic-Con that's video game related is they did show the Donkey Kong Lego, which I will be getting. And it is actually a game. It's a game you can play. It is actually not the crank that the Pac-Man one was. You actually send down the barrels. There's a switch to send down the barrels. The joystick moves Mario right or left like one tile. And then there's a jump button, and you're supposed to jump over the barrels. And then it like has a mechanism that reloads the barrels. And it's not you can't play a game on it, but it is more interactive than just turning a dial like the Pac-Man one was. I actually did break down, and I bought the pinball Lego set. It's coming at some point this week, so I can make pinball. So, all right. So the last news, this is the one that I kind of warned you was coming. This was going to happen soon. And it makes perfect sense from a business standpoint. It makes terrible sense from a consumer standpoint. So I understand that you may think that you're entitled to something because of geopolitical things. Unfortunately, the law disagrees, and I'm going to guess that a judge is going to disagree. By the way, S. Jonah Matt says about Arcade 1UP at San Diego Comic-Con, says maybe this is them saying, hey, we're not dead yet. We have a booth at San Diego Comic-Con and still releasing things. Give us your licenses. That could be the thing, is that they're trying to convince other retro companies to let them have the license to make arcade cabinets on their behalf. Then maybe you'd finally get your Spy Hunter. There you go. But anyway, let's talk about Nintendo and talk about the Switch 2. Ars Technica reports that Nintendo urged a court to dismiss a lawsuit demanding that it pass tariff refunds on to customers, saying the people who bought a Switch console or other products have no legal right to refunds that Nintendo was due to receive from the government. So Nintendo said in a motion to dismiss that plaintiffs are asking this court to invent a legal duty out of whole cloth to retroactively reprice completed sales simply because the legal landscape has changed. Nintendo also said the plaintiffs have no legal entitlement to the tariff refunds Nintendo stands to receive. Layman's version of what's going on here is that Nintendo had to pay the U.S. government high tariffs to import Switch 2 consoles to the U.S. And in doing so, when they decided to sell the Switch 2 to consumers, they put a higher price on it than what they had initially thought. And so now customers, so then Nintendo, and we'll talk about this in a second, where Nintendo actually was one of the people that sued the administration of the U.S. To say that these tariffs are unlawful. And then a judge is now ordering the U.S. government to pay back the importers of record their tariff, what they paid in the tariff. So Nintendo is going to get that money back. Now consumers are saying, okay, you got your money back, now pay us. And the thing is, we do not know how much the Switch 2 would have cost without the tariffs, because Nintendo never really said it. And they haven't brought the cost back down, but that's because everything else got more expensive. Okay, the tariffs are gone, but now memory's more expensive. Now storage is more expensive. So now, without the tariffs, now instead of paying the U.S. government, they're paying the memory manufacturer, the storage manufacturer. So it probably still costs just the same to get the Switch 2 in. It's just instead of paying the government in tax, they're paying a chip manufacturer overseas. Now, Pod Culture says they should do something. $10 in store credit or something would cost them very little, but would generate more goodwill than doing nothing. Why? The Switch 2 console has not gone down in price. So why do they need to give back to the consumers? I get the emotional sentiment, but why? Because here's what determines the value of something. The value of something is a combination of what one person is willing to sell something for and what another person is willing to buy it at. And we agreed that the Switch 2 was worth the price that they were selling. That is the value of the item. Just because Nintendo created that price because of tariffs that they are getting back does not mean that we didn't agree that the Switch 2 was worth the price that it was paid. S. Jeremy Matt says, goodwill is nice, but it will do. But if they do nothing, people will spend money with them regardless. Only thing that would change that is if we stop buying things, but we're not doing that. Yeah, if the Switch 2 didn't sell, then they would lower the price. The 3DS didn't sell, so they lowered the price of it to get people to buy it. And that is when they gave things to the, was it ambassadors or like the people who owned a 3DS at the original price, they gave them like a bunch of stuff to kind of make up for it. And that was for goodwill. But the Switch 2 sold out. Like people said that, it's worth it. It is worth the price. So I'm going to pay it. Now, you could say, like, well, I never said it was worth the price, but I paid it anyway. Well, then it was worth it. To you, that was the value. As Sharon Amadis says, the Steam machine is going to be expensive unless you stop buying it, but it sold out. Like, there's a waiting list. Dark Soccer says, how many Switch 2s are sold in the U.S.? Then multiply that by $10 if we're doing it per buyer. It's in the tens of millions. So, it would be basically, yeah, they would get their tariff back. And then basically what we're saying, what is being asked for is to pay every consumer. Questbuster says, as a quote, we are selling to willing buyers at the current fair market price so that we may survive, unquote. What a lot of people did was they did not buy the Switch 2 because they said it was too expensive. It did not have that kind of value. And that is the smart play. Instead of saying, oh, I bought this and now I want you to pay me because I bought it at the higher price. Oh, that was from a movie? That's a movie quote? Oh, no. Jeremy Irons was so good in it, is what Questbuster says. Oh, as Sherman Matt saw the movie. I am going to be like, I don't know what movie that is. Is it Dungeons & Dragons? Jeremy Irons was in that. Margin Call. Never saw it. Margin Call is the movie. Yeah, so Nintendo is basically trying to get their lawsuit dismissed. They're trying to go to arbitration with the people who are suing. And Nintendo has told the court that, quote, the doctrine of unjust enrichment does not apply when a party voluntarily pays a purchase price and receives a product in return. The plaintiffs received exactly what they paid for, Nintendo products that plaintiffs knowingly and voluntarily purchased at the advertised price. Nor is there anything unjust about Nintendo retaining money that it may receive from the government as tariff refunds. The fact that Nintendo stands to receive tariff refunds does not give plaintiffs any legal entitlement to those funds, unquote. And I am not a lawyer, but I do agree. And I know that, you know, now I'm siding with the big corporation and I'm licking the boot or whatever, but they're not wrong. There were also there's lawsuits. Other people are filing against Sony about the PlayStation consoles. Sony has not yet filed a motion to dismiss in that case. There is tariff refunds for Xbox buyers that was filed against Microsoft on July 17th. The lawsuit against Nintendo says, quote, as it stands, defendant has retained profits generated from its sales of products subject to tariff-related price increases and should not be permitted to retain those ill-gotten profits when it is seeking a refund of the duties it paid, unquote. Tariff fluctuations happened all the time. They were more extreme at the time of the Switch 2 launch. That is absolutely true. But the it's always fluctuated. And we've never asked if the tariffs go down, we never ask, hey, now you should pay me money because I bought your product that you sold to me at a specific price now that you're getting money back from the government. So since the Supreme Court ruling, the plaintiffs' firms have filed more than 100 putative consumer class actions against businesses nationwide that have sought refunds of tariffs paid for the result of the invalidated charges. So more than 30 federal districts in over 20 states. S. Jernomat says, vote with your wallet. If we all sat on our backlog and not buy anything new, maybe they'd listen. And that's always it. That is always it. Because we as a collective society have voted with our wallets. That's why we have microtransactions in games, because we buy a lot of them. And maybe none of that we is in this chat room, but we've bought them. We could sit here and talk about the predatory practices of EA Sports with their Ultimate Teams. Yet it makes them a ton of money. We have absolutely voted with our wallet. And we said yes. So when we do not buy things, when we do vote with our wallet, like with the Nintendo 3DS, yeah, things changed. But we're not doing that all that often because, you know, new shiny games. Like, Sony released stuff about, you know, how little physical games they have sold. And, like, only 7 games have sold over 100,000 physical copies in the last year. Compared to the millions of games sold digitally. Because the majority of people actually don't care about physical games. They're okay with the digital games. I care about a music break. So I am still going to take a music break here on the 21st anniversary, 21 years old of doing this show. No special anything, because, like, honestly, I kind of forgot until Friday. I was like, hey, like at 11:30 p.m., I'm like, hey, isn't today July 24th? This is my podcast's birthday. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a very quick music break so I can drink some liquids, and we will be back right after that. You are participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
When I'm not putting a hit on the drongos, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. He's a right cobber, mate.
John Patrick Lowry, who I will be hanging out with on a panel at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo next week on Saturday afternoon as the sniper from Team Fortress 2. Thank you so much for that bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be sniping anybody in Team Fortress 2. All you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video of just you, and I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it, because Twitch has suddenly figured out how to do copyright strikes while you're live. So, you know, now I got to be a little bit even more careful. And I don't want any copyright strikes on the channel. But anyway, you can contact me on the Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And you can talk about and come back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, and you get me the file that way. S. Turner Matt brought up something that I did not cover here on the show because I knew that it was going to be a little bit long. And it's the Video Game History Foundation, organization I very, very much love and very, very much appreciate and think that you should support in any way you can. They have put out some E3 archive stuff. They have secured a lot of original, a lot of like home movies and stuff of people that worked in the industry, of a lot of stuff from E3 from like 1995 when it started up until its demise. And they released a whole bunch of this, and it's like they got donated a whole bunch of like programs and trade show paraphernalia, like the official program and the maps and everything. And they got all these photos from people that worked at the ESA at the time and started E3. And they've even like triangulated exactly like where the camera was and what direction it was looking and all that stuff. And they've released all this stuff. And it's kind of interesting seeing people go through it. And it's got, you know, videos of press conferences that were not big deals back in 1995, like big deals from the media side. Back when it was a trade show. And it was very interesting, like, kind of reading through this, because the reason E3 was created and the reason E3 was, they made it a media splash, is because, and I didn't even think about it this way, and I should have, but the video game industry was getting an extremely bad rap at the time. This was, you know, right on the heels of the, the Senate hearings about video game violence, about Night Trap, about Mortal Kombat, about Doom. This was the creation of the ESRB and all that stuff. But basically, video games were getting dragged in the mud by the national media, by, you know, parents and stuff. And they were like, we need to show how much good the industry is, especially at that time, and all the great stuff we're doing, and we need a hype. And they had outgrown the Consumer Electronics Show, where they were basically in a tent outside. They weren't even in the main CES. They were with, like, the refrigerators and stuff. A lot of this has come out with the Video Game History Foundation. They've even interviewed some of the people that started E3. It's the first time in 20 years they've talked about E3. And this is back when E3 was the magic that everybody wanted to go to, and it was the ones that I wanted to go to. So it's real interesting to go through that stuff. They also got a hold of some tapes of, like, unreleased demos unreleased footage of, like, Nintendo 64 games, and so they've released some of that on their YouTube channel, so check that out. And yes, Esther and Matt also says they want my E3 stuff, because I actually posted, like, hey, I also have videotapes, from, you know, that I took, and they're like, hey, you should send those to us. Because I'm gonna, you know, but I need to digitize them, because I don't want to lose them. And I have actually shown them. We actually did a bonus stream years ago where here on VOG, where I actually took, like, my tapes from, like, 98 and 99 and 2000, which are on VHS-C. That's what they're called, which was mini VHS compact is what it was. And, you know, these were VHS tapes, but they were smaller, so you didn't need a full-size VCR when you're holding your camcorder. And you would put it in this other VHS tape that would expand it out, and you could play it in a regular VHS player. And we watched those here on the stream. And, you know, I don't actually have them digitized. They're still on that VHS, so I want to go through and do that. And then I've got what's called mini DV, which was what we went to later, which I could, on an older computer, hook directly up via FireWire and copy the videos. And I think I've got them on a hard drive somewhere in here. Or I actually just have the camcorder and I can use RCA cables and plug the camcorder up. And the Video Game History Foundation is like, hey, you should send this, that stuff. And two also did their credit, Phil Salvador, who's active on Blue Sky, also wanted some of the other stuff that I posted. I'm like, I've got E3 show dailies. And they're like, we don't have some of those in our collection. And I have them. And they're like, you should send those to us. And then did I? No. I am a bad archiver. They're still here. I still got them. Yeah, Bobby Bad Wolf. That is me. I am a wanted man. That is absolutely correct. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Sounds Radio 2DX. Three people that talk about more than just games here for longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. OLR, are you here?
Absolutely. Just give me a second to get on screen.
Main screen. Main screen turn on.
Yeah, pretty much.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm dealing with some stuff, but I'm here.
Yep, you're here. I get to go play pinball next week, so I'm excited. I get to play lots of pinball. Was California Extreme already happen, or is it coming up?
It's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I knew that they're very close together this year, the convention out here in California Extreme. One day, I'm getting out there for California Extreme.
Well, we're, as a result, not having OLR on August 19th.
Okay, well,
Not 19th, 9th.
The 9th, all right. We will play some marbles in your honor.
I am perfectly fine with that. Yep. I may be tuned in playing marbles from my hotel room.
There we go. I'm excited. I will get to meet Steve Ritchie, who you've already told me I need to speak very loudly, so I'll remember that and not throw out my voice yet. It's always fun, and this is a convention that that VOG has supported since almost its beginning, and so I'm glad that we have something out here. But it does not replace California Extreme. One day I'm getting out there, I promise.
Yeah, he's such a cool guy. You're going to enjoy him.
Yeah. You had some thoughts earlier about the Nintendo court case, and, you know, I wanted to know if you wanted to kind of give a little bit of your thoughts on here. You're probably going to cover it on OLR as well, but what were your thoughts on some of this?
I think it's stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be my 100% analytic impression of it. Mm-hmm. Stupid. So stupid. Why would anyone expect that they're going to get any money back? I mean, yeah, Nintendo's done a lot of good things on the consumer side, but when you're looking at the international economic environment right now, and you're dealing with, you know, how much more expensive the cost for parts are becoming, not just because of, you know, some questionable decisions from government entities, but also with the whole ML situation going on, mm-hmm. you know, with all the data farms and whatnot, you're really, there's no point. The price would have gone up regardless, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't know exactly what that is on the dollar. And then, you know, for people like, oh, well, just a few dollars here and there. Well, how many of you in the US bought that device? And then add that. And then add in the cost of legal fees, just pointing out how stupid the lawsuit is.
And there's historical precedence that Nintendo is not a good company in this regard. I do remember, and I guess where the $10 might come from in some people subconsciously, is we all, a lot of us that are old enough, remember getting a $10 certificate because of a lawsuit of Nintendo, I think, price-fixing cartridges,
yeah.
like 1988, 1989, like that's how long ago we're talking.
Well, it's also them monopolizing the market, you yeah. know, by keeping all of their cartridges proprietary, mm-hmm. which we're seeing more of this going on now in other companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's a completely different situation, though, than mm-hmm. dealing with increasing the price over, I'd say, market conditions.
Yeah.
That's normal. That's yeah. normal. People mm-hmm. aren't going to get anything from that.
Yeah. I mean, you go to any seafood restaurant that's worth it, which means you better be close to the water. Like, you can trust seafood more the closer to the water you are. But a lot of the prices are just market.
Yeah. And ask anyone who's ever bought a lobster or a mm-hmm. Dungeness crab or anything yeah. like that. It's like, well, I ordered your Ototo, you know, at the sushi place, and it was this much money, and now the market price has gone down. I want you to refund me this. Yeah. All right, well, refund me part of your dinner.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to ask you to, you know, mm-hmm. provide that.
Yeah. Anyway.
People.
Yep. Anyway, people. Speaking of people, what else are we going to be talking about on Orange Zone Radio 2DX tonight?
We are going to be talking a little bit more about something about the Steam Machine mm-hmm. and how Sega still loves us
mm-hmm.
and, just this and that, some things about, the Tokyo Disney parks, the Nintendo story, and maybe a little bit of, manga information thrown in.
All right. Orange Sound Radio 2DX is up next. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night after going to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. I'm not taking the week off because it's literally like 15 miles away from my house. So I will absolutely be back in time for 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific next Sunday here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can find us on our Discord server, VOGNetwork.com/Discord throughout the week. Also, I know that the podcast usually has been getting a little bit late. I'm trying to get back on track. Things have been going on at night, or, you know, if I've got the time, that's when a thunderstorm happens, and, you know, maybe I don't want my computer on at the time. But you can actually go to our Twitch page, twitch.tv/Vogner, and hear the unedited version of this for 2 weeks. You do not need to be a subscriber for that. You can go ahead and listen to the shows that way if you really, really, really want to hear it sooner than what I'm able to do. I do not use any generative AI to edit down. I'm sure I probably could feed in the audio file, say, hey, you know, do this and do that, and it would do it. And no, I actually listened to the whole show and cut it down and do like 40-something micro edits for pauses and things. And that's why sometimes it takes a little bit of time, because it actually takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to do a show, to edit a show. So anyway, I'm not getting pity or anything. I should be more on top of it. It is a me problem. It is not anybody else's problem. I know that I am not doing it as quickly as I should, but I thank you for keeping up with it. At least, you know, the shows are still good for a couple weeks, and, you know, still recent news. Anyway, all right. You can follow me on socials at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Blue Sky, at BobbyBlackWolf on Instagram. I will be posting from the Southern Fried Gaming Expo next week. I will be taking video most likely as well. Maybe we'll be looking at it on the show next Sunday night. Let me know if there's a pinball machine you want to know about or to know more about. that's new. I can probably try to find to see if somebody's going to be there from it, because Jersey Jack will have representatives there. Stern doesn't usually send a representative, but there are people that are knowledgeable about Stern machines there. And I mean, Steve Ritchie is going to be there as well. Feel free to message or find out more about that on VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work with the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. And we like to mention these. You being here, you listening is really all that we ask for. But Pod Culture did resubscribe. Thank you so much for resubscribing here on Twitch. We had a couple of 40 stream watch streaks, which is great. Thank you so much. SSJ100 Matt resubscribed. Thank you so much for 79 months. Orange Wright resubscribed for 74 months. Thank you so much. And Rin Marie just resubscribed and said Densha de Go causes great damage to the human spirit without a single benefit. Thank you so much for the subscription. Enjoy OLR 2DX on that. I am going to hit the button to get me out of here try to enjoy something. Detach from the news. Try to enjoy something. Rest your brain a little bit, please. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.